Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of FYI with Daniel and Glenda. I'm your host, Daniel Scott.
And I'm your co-host, Glenda Walker.
And we are so apologetic about missing out on last week, but we had some things come up. Life is crazy. You know how that happens. Glenda, are you glad to be back? Do you feel like we've been missed?
I hope we've been missed, and I'm happy to be back.
Right. I know. It's kind of weird when you have to take a break for a short minute, but, it was a needed break, and we are back. We're back strong, and we're going to continue on our journey through business ownership, and today's... I forgot what I forget to do.
So we want to thank you all for listening to all of our previous episodes. We want to thank you for your comments, your feedback, and just keep on listening. And if you missed an episode, we have 7 episodes that have been loaded up so far. So if you're thinking, maybe I only listened to 2 or 3, there's a few more there for you to listen to. So please continue to listen, and we appreciate you so far.
Well, this was actually the 7th one here.
Oh, sorry. This is number 7, so there are 6 previous ones.
Right. We skipped that week, and that's what's throwing you off,
because we
took that week. We're super excited, again, to be back. And like I said, this is our journey to business ownership. We are all about marketing today. Oh, man.
Marketing. This is a different one.
Yeah, this is a tough one, because this is where I personally have struggled as a business owner.
I think a lot of business owners struggling with marketing, and marketing, it should be one of your largest budget items besides salaries. It should be one of your largest budgeted items on your projections besides salaries. And I think it's the least one that people think about. They may throw $100 in there for marketing, or, $1,000 in there for marketing. But, how are you letting people know about your business?
Absolutely. If people don't know you exist, they don't know to shop with you, right?
Right. So, Daniel, this is a tough topic. So, you ready?
I am ready. Let's talk about it. So, yeah, guys, like I said, this has been something that I have struggled with immensely throughout my years of business ownership. And I still, to this day, because finding your demographic, your target audience, is something that's very difficult. It takes a lot of playing around. It takes a lot of money. Sometimes you lose money trying to figure it out, and it can be very, very frustrating. I know, Glenda, you own your own business. What are some of the ways that you contact your demographics or get your clients?
Well, I'm kind of lucky because I came from, a corporate banking job. So my phone and my Rolodex, and I have a drawer full of probably like 2,000 business cards, y'all. So I just go through my phone, and I'm contacting previous clients that I dealt with in another life. So with me contacting them, letting them know what I do, the great thing is that they know me already, so I've already built some trust with them. So really just letting them know, hey, I'm out on my own now, and I'm doing the same thing I was doing for the bank, but on my own. So I'm able to, give more time and commitment into helping coach businesses from a financial and lending perspective. So I've just been really word of mouth. And just like you, I struggle with finding new ways to reach new customers. And I'm not preaching what I say, because I have not designated anything towards a marketing budget. But now I'm in year 2, and now I'm open to doing that. And I think you and I talked a little bit about, some things I was thinking about doing. But, as far as rebranding my website, having some, SEO marketing, search engine optimization, just kind of really trying to step it up for people that don't know me and I don't have a presence with.
Yeah, well, you've also done an awesome job with the experience that you've had through the banking industry of collecting and building relationships. And one thing that we always preach is your network is your net worth. So you really kind of didn't have to that first couple of years. I mean, because the first couple of years are really hard to invest in when you're using your money, your startup money, to build your business.
Yeah.
So you kind of came into the game with an edge up because you already had a good Rolodex.
Yeah, a slight edge up because I already had a client base. And I wasn't trying to steal them from the bank that they were with. My thing is just to add on services and give them additional funding that they need. So I did come in with a little bit of niche, which some people don't have. I didn't have to start from ground up.
Right. And for those of you that are Gen Z listening to this podcast, when we say Rolodex, we mean address book. Because I know you guys probably don't know what a Rolodex is.
And probably even business cards. I mean, now I've converted like my... I have paper business cards, but now I have an electronic business card. Mm-hmm. And a millennial client of mine showed me that. I was like, oh, those exist? But that is a marketing tool.
Absolutely.
It's a marketing tool, and I didn't know. Yeah. And Daniel, you are the technology guy. You are Mr. Technology. I am technology. I won't say, you know... beginner.
You're technology savvy.
Maybe intermediate, and yeah. I won't say advanced. So I may be intermediate, but you are more advanced. So what are some ways that business owners can reach their target audience or new potential clients from a digital perspective?
Okay, well, first and foremost, I would definitely have a website. If you think that you don't need a website, you do. That's where people go to investigate you, even though you can put whatever you want on that website. It's just human nature for us to go to the internet and look up somebody's website. Also, get a legit email address. If you have a business and you're sending out emails and it ends in at gmail.com or at yahoo.com or whatever the domain is, you should have your own domain. If you know you have relationshipmanagementsolutions.com and you have, you know, Glenda at relationshipmanagementsolutions or whatever your email is, it's important because that's all part of branding. And when you're branding yourself, you know, those things stick in people's heads, even though you think that it's so minor. Spelling out your name and typing out your name, it implants those thoughts in people's heads, and it's easier for them to remember your business name.
So, y'all, he had to check me because, you know, when I was so excited and I got my business up and running, I had Gmail. And he was like, Glenda, you know better. I was like, I don't care. And then I quickly changed it to at relationshipmsolutions.com.
Yeah.
So, he, you know, Daniel has, you know, had to check me on that. And it does make a difference, you know.
And a website that I recommend for everyone is Wix.com, W-I-X.com. It's a very easy, simplified website building platform. It will also help you create an email, professional email. It's very inexpensive, guys. It's one thing that you should invest in. If anything, you can build it yourself. And if you don't want to build it yourself or you don't feel comfortable doing so, again, you can go to Fiverr, Fiverr.com. There's people on there that will build your website for as little as $30, $25, $50. It's just... it really is important. It's crucial. And so branding is the first thing that you want to do when it comes to marketing. You want to establish a branding plan.
So, Daniel, I think I asked you about this before. So when you have somebody else build a website for you, do you own that or do they own it? And what do you have to get from that person building the website for you to protect you?
Well, listen, so if you go through Wix or if you go through one of those sites that build the website for
like
you.
GoDaddy, Wix.
Sure.
You know,
you own the website. What you're paying for is them to manage it. Now, if you decide you want to manage the site on your own, then they would relinquish you the username and passwords and they would no longer have control.
Gotcha.
And you're only paying for them to manage it. And listen, that can be very tricky because people oftentimes, hey, if you're handling it, it's out of thought, out of mind. You always want to get your username and passwords and have those. Because if something goes south with the person that's managing your website, you want to be able to log into it and change stuff immediately. I know a lot of people who have their website managed and don't have any idea what goes on their website. So
yeah, and you want to still have some control. You don't want to give all the control up. At least know your username and password from these people so they can't shut you down if you fire them.
And remember, everything that they're putting on the website, you've approved. It's usually photos from your business, so it's photos that you've taken. It's The verbiage and the paragraphs and whatnot on the pages are your words, or you've instructed them what to say. So, of course, you own all of the content, and you should. I mean, if you're using stock photos, you also want to make sure that you're paying for the right to use those stock photos. iPhoto.com, stockphotos.com, all of those websites offer you stock photos, industry stock photos that you can use for your website, which is very cool.
Okay, so branding. So having a domain email, having a website.
Absolutely.
Having a logo. Yeah.
Yeah, and again, I know, listen, we're in not getting paid to endorse Fiverr.com.
This is not a paid endorsement.
Exactly. I believe in this Fiverr.com for several reasons. One, it's a lot of small independent businesses on there offering consulting services as side jobs. It's kind of like the Uber of the internet. I love the site. I use a lot of the same people a lot of times. So I really push that website because, like I said, for several different reasons. And you're supporting small business owners when you go there and deal with those people. And it's around the world. They guarantee the work to be done, or you don't have to pay. I mean, it's just a win-win situation.
Okay, guys. So Fiverr. So check it out.
Yeah, and you can get
download the app or go on their website, Fiverr. Fiverr. Check it out, y'all.
Yeah, and you can get a logo created for $25. I mean, you know, it's whatever your vision is, you let them know and they create it. There's a lot of graphic artists out there, very talented.
Okay, so now that you've got your branding together, you know, your email, your domain email, your website, your logo, you got that together. What's next? Like, how do you get your business out to people and really market it? Like, what's next?
Okay, so I'm gonna go over the six essential elements of effective marketing strategy. How's that?
That's good.
Okay, well, first you want to start with a compelling story. You know, we live in a society today where people want to hear your story. People want to know where your business started. A lot of people are heavily focused on small business shopping. So, and there's a lot of big companies out there like American Express that really push small business shopping. So, you know, create the story for your business. Share how your business got started. All of the obstacles, all of the successes, put that on your webpage. You know, give your background story of how your business got started. That's part of your branding as well, but it's also a very effective marketing strategy because people then feel like there's a
connection.
Connection. Hey, I went through that too, or this is amazing. I want to support this person.
Right.
So that's absolutely the first thing that I would do is tell your story. Now don't lie. And don't embellish, because that all can be found out.
Keep it real.
Keep it real. You know, even the smallest things that you think are not very important may be very huge to other people.
Yes,
so
yes.
You never know what part of your story is going to help somebody else. So a very compelling story is always great with branding and great to start off your marketing campaign for. And then you can build a marketing campaign around that story.
Okay.
Yep.
Compelling story.
So next thing you want to do is develop some technical expertise. And that's where...
This is where I'm intermediate.
Yeah. Listen, but you did what most people should do, is you reached out and you found somebody who really understands that element of your marketing strategy.
Daniel Scott.
So you brought me in and I assisted. And that's what I love. I love the technology aspect. I'm a technology guy. So technology can be very overwhelming. So I definitely recommend taking on a partner and asking people. Just ask questions. You know, you don't even have to hire a consultant, because I'm sure that you have young people in your lives that can fulfill you in on what it is that's hot right now. Like TikTok is hot right now. And, you know, and Facebook and Instagram stories, those are great ways of advertising on your own. So get some technical expertise in there. Figure out what works for your business.
What about email marketing?
Oh, absolutely.
So I know, like, on Wix, my website is through Wix, and I always see, you know, options to do email marketing. Do you think that's effective?
Well, and that leads into our fourth one, which is content marketing leads the charge.
Oh, I jumped the gun, y'all.
But that's okay, because that's a really good question. You should be keeping all of an address, all of the emails you receive from clients or potential clients in an address book, because like mail, U.S. mail, we now go to our email box like we did our mailbox 10 years ago.
No, I probably go to my email mailbox more. As soon as I roll over and get my phone and that alarm goes off, I'm checking my email. And I don't check my mail probably for once or twice a week.
Yeah, yeah. And that's most people. Our lives are so busy, but everything, you know, most people have opted on their bills and notices to have it via email because, right. You know, we don't even know if we're going to get the mail some days.
True.
So absolutely. Email marketing is very effective. You know, you have to allow people to unsubscribe, or once people tell you they no longer want to receive your emails, you have to stop, because then you start crossing over into legal issues. But for the most part, you know, people who want to know from you, they'll let you know. So absolutely create a newsletter about your business.
Oh, good idea.
It's very easy. There's plenty of free newsletter templates that are on the internet. You can go and just Google newsletter template, and you can let people know what's going on about your business, products that are coming up, or services that you're about to offer or you currently offer.
Or also just things in the industry that your business is in. You know,
yes.
So real estate is a hot topic right now. So if you're a real estate agent or real estate broker, you know, you may have a newsletter talking about deals that you won, deals that you lost, and then what's going on in the industry and in economy that affects your business and may affect your clients.
And absolutely. And if you read a great story from somebody else, you know, as long as you cite them and you know, give them credit, share that story as well. You know, let them know, hey, I read this great article. This is something that might be, you know, you might want to listen to. But that's all part of your business and, you know, you being involved in your business. Your business doesn't just happen in your little small environment. It's all around you, and you should always include it as part of your story.
Okay. So email marketing can be effective.
And
guys,
email marketing is pretty cheap. It's free. So,
right.
You know, posting on the internet, posting like stories, creating videos for your business, those things don't cost you anything. The only thing they cost you is time. So, you know, be creative. I've seen a lot of small business owners on TikTok recently go big because they had a viral video. It was just funny. It was something that involved them and their dog maybe eating something. You know, it's wild because you never know what viral videos are going to go viral. But yeah.
But usually it's not something. So when I see business owners post on TikTok and they go viral or something, they're usually not, that viral video is usually not about their business.
No.
It's usually about some random clickbait type of thing. It could either be, you know, sexually explicit, or it could be funny, or it can be just, you know, cooking, anything. But it seems to never be about the business. But I guess it's getting somebody interested in you, and then later they go to your page, I guess.
That's right. I mean, okay. That's how, you know, on my bio, I've got my, you know, my website on my bio. So when videos hit, I hope that they click on. I can see how many times they click my website. And, you know, it drives people too. You know, I'm not saying everybody that comes to your website is going to be somebody who buys your product, but it's still getting your name out there.
And it's exposure.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that's what's most important.
All right. So what we got next, Daniel?
Next is incorporate employee voices.
Man.
So let your employees speak for you. And that's why you should always treat your employees good.
Pay them well, treat them well.
If you don't have any employees, it's your voice. But if you do have employees, let them tell your story. Let them tell their story. Incorporate the diversity of your business. I'm really, really strong on diversity. I think every business that promotes diversity is a successful business, because you can't go wrong just including everyone. So when you have a diverse business, you need to advertise that. Let people know, hey, I have a diverse business. I'm open to everyone. You know, it's great. I think diversity is wonderful.
Yeah. Diversity is just the hot word for me right now. Because I think companies sometimes may promote diversity, but not actually live diversity. So, you know, that's kind of two different things. But I want to get off on that tangent about diversity today, because we're talking about marketing.
Yes.
But I'm thinking, if you don't have any employees that can help promote your business, maybe some of your clients.
Yeah, well, I do want to say this because I 100% agree with you, and we're going to have a podcast about that. But we are primarily focusing on small business, and you can't fake diversity in an office of five people.
Exactly.
You know? So, and I kind of think that's what our audience is geared. I'm thinking that's what the people who are listening to these podcasts are thinking, like, we have hundreds of employees. If you are and you're listening to us, well, thank you. I mean, I feel honored.
Yes, yes. So if you don't have employees to promote your business, maybe using some of your clients.
Yeah.
Your clients is like your biggest voice for your business with marketing. That your clients will market. They will either help you if you did a good job for them, or they will help you lose business if you didn't do a good job for them.
And this kind of goes back to our podcast where we had the two guests when we were talking about the Google reviews.
Yeah.
Right? Or
just reviews in general.
Reviews in general. Yelp reviews, you know. Answering those reviews are so critical. I can't stress this enough. Like, every review that any business that I'm involved in gets, I personally respond to them, good or bad. But yeah, reviews are important. And it's also important to leave positive reviews or negative reviews for businesses, because that's how us business owners learn and grow.
And get better.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I got to do better with that. I need to put a review tab on my website so I can encourage my clients that I've done a good job for to go in there and review, because, again, it's marketing.
Yeah, I review every restaurant I eat at. So if y'all want to follow me on Yelp, I'm Daniel Scott on Yelp. I love...
He's a foodie, y'all.
I do love to review a restaurant now.
All right, so incorporate your employees or your clients. What's
yes.
next?
The last is focus on branding, not selling. And this kind of takes us all the way back. So we've come full circle. Focus on your brand. You know, do everything that you can to brand your business. Let people know what your business is. Like, don't be scattered all over the place. Your logo should, you know, be incorporated into an already established business plan, which, you know, it all cohesively works together.
Okay, so I kind of like that, because I always used to say, you know, in the banking industry, when I was in the banking industry, we had sales goals. And I used to throw those daggone goals, be like, whatever. I mean, I kind of knew what they were because I would need to keep my job and get a paycheck. But I always did what was right for my clients. And I end up hitting the goals. So right now, I'm doing what's right for my clients independently, and the money is coming. So I'm saying that to say, yeah, we still need money to pay our bills, but don't focus on the money. Yeah. Focus on your brand. Focus on treating your clients well, which is a form of, you know, marketing for your business, and the money will come.
Right. And remember, this all should happen over an extended period of time. This is not something that you're going to do in a week. This is not something you're going to do in a month. This is something that's going to happen over time, because you're going to evolve in the very beginning. Your business plan is, like we said from the very first podcast, is a living document. And although you wrote it out before you got started and you're set to it, it's going to change, because you're going to realize that certain things that you thought worked didn't work, and certain things that you thought were going to happen didn't happen. So you go back and change and manipulate your business plan to work for the things that are happening and that are occurring, so that it works for your business.
Yeah, yeah. But while we're sitting here talking, I just thought of a couple of things that you and I have probably discussed in the past. One thing that you can do inexpensively, let's just say you don't have a creative bone in your body. You know your craft, that's about it, but you don't know how to create anything. You know, think about hiring an intern. You know, go to your local college where they have, you know, marketing courses, and think about hiring, you know, a student to do some work for you part-time. I think, Daniel, I think you've done that in the past, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, we do that a lot. We went to Morehouse and talked with the Morehouse College there. I guess it was the student center or whatever. But yeah, we had a senior who was majoring in marketing, and we brought him in to help establish a marketing plan for one of the businesses. So utilize those students. I mean, those are people that are getting ready to step out into this world and look for jobs, and that's great on that looks great on their resume.
Right.
And plus, remember, these are young people. These are the generation that are going to be the shoppers. So, you know, having their ideas, having their input is crucial and valuable. I I'm always say there's a thing for experience, absolutely. But there's also a thing for social experience.
Correct.
And, you know, so don't, just because someone's young, don't assume that they're not going to know, because they may give you valuable information that could take your business to the next level just because it's something that you just don't follow, but it targets their demographic.
Absolutely. So whatever town you're in, go to your local college and go speak to the student advisors. And I promise you, they'll get you a list of students that want to work and do some, you know, some freelance work and part-time work. But also, you know, people always say, oh, do I need a social media manager, you know, a virtual assistant? Fiverr is another place where you can get a social media manager or a virtual assistant. Virtual assistants pretty much will, you give them a couple of tasks, they take care of it, they do a couple of posts for you, they may answer emails, they may, you know, you may have a virtual phone number, they reply back to messages. So utilize those technology-driven things where it takes a little bit time off your hands so you can focus on your craft and not some of the, you know, other things that you may or may not have time for and you may or may not be good at.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Glenda, because on Facebook, on one of our business profiles, they have, you know, you can tailor the messenger. So Facebook has like the built-in virtual assistant on Messenger. I don't know if you're aware of that.
No, I wasn't.
So when someone clicks send a message, you can already have pre-questions already like typed in. So then it gives them those questions like, what can I help you with? And if they say certain key words, it gives you the answer so that you're not having to respond to that person. Eventually, I mean, you see all of that messaging when it comes through, but you're not having to respond to every single one.
Yeah. So basically like it'll eliminate just, you know, general questions and stuff like that. And probably will eliminate people to just with a basic inquiry versus somebody that really wants to talk to you and really wants to potentially do business with you.
Or a bot.
Or a bot.
Yeah, because the bots will get in there and waste your time.
The bots.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, it's been crazy. I don't know who is real and who's not real online anymore. But
well, it's funny, y'all. This is, I know I'm going off on a tangent, but you know when you are logging into something or you're going on a company's website and they say, we want to make sure you're not a computer, check the things in the box. Well, you are a computer. Who's the computer?
I think they're
you.
I think they're talking about the user. You're not a computer. Now, see, we're going to downgrade her technology intermediate to technology
to beginner.
Beginner.
Okay, y'all. But no, this, you know, marketing is just something that you must do. We must do to promote our business. Whatever form you're going to use, you have to just figure it out. And if you're not good at it, get help. You know, get some inexpensive, qualified help. To help you do that. We, you know, Daniel has given you, you know, Fiverr, you know, going to your local colleges to get, you know, a marketing major student to help you out. Just, you know, using a virtual assistant. Whatever you choose to do, just be intentional about it. Be strategic about it so you can reach your target audience.
Right. Just don't leave branding and marketing behind. And like I said, it's one thing I struggle with. I'm like Glenda. I don't always practice what I preach. And I know the importance of it. But I'm just being honest with you. Sometimes I fall off on that. You know, I just started doing direct mail.
Oh, yes. We didn't talk about direct mail. And direct mail, y'all, is the postcards that we get in the mail. But I think that's still one of the number one effective marketing tools that are still out there.
And so you could go to Fiverr and have someone create a postcard for you. That's what I did. It looked fantastic. I mean, and then, you know, you can have mailing services. So you can buy mail addresses for specific demographics from places like directmail.com. And those, I think you can get like 5,000 addresses for $200-something or whatever. And then you could go to like vistaprint.com and pay for mailing services through them, or you can pay for it through direct mail. You know, always shop around because those can be very, it can be very costly. You know, it's 40-something cents per item And that adds up when you're talking about thousands of postcards. But the great thing about it is you can narrow down your demographics. You can say, I want this age group. I want this income group. I want this zip code. I want, you know, them to have their house to be worth this much, or a new homeowner versus a homeowner that's been living there for a while. So when you can afford it, direct mail is a very, very effective way of reaching your target market.
Okay. And so, you know, we're talking about affordability, but this is something that you're just going to have to add in the budget at some point in time.
Yes.
Whether it's, you know, hiring a social media manager, whether it's a virtual assistant, whether it's direct marketing, email marketing, you need to budget marketing in your annual expenses. So whatever that looks like, you know, it may start out this year. You may focus on search engine optimization. You may focus on that first, where your name pops up on the first page on Google or something. You may focus on that first, and then the next year you say, okay, well, I did that. Now I got some exposure and some drives to my website. Now I'm going to do direct mail. So as your business starts generating income and revenues, that's when you need to increase your marketing budget. As your revenues increase, your marketing budget needs to increase as well.
Yeah, and I will say in the beginning, folks, please stay away from Facebook ads, Google ads, and things like that.
Why do you say that, Daniel?
There are several reasons, and I know we're getting ready to wrap up, so I don't want to go too in depth about it. But the reason why I say that is because it can cost you a lot of money and yield you no results. Only because there's so many bots on Facebook, fake profiles and things like that. Plus your competition, they tend to do it a lot too. They will click your ad because you're getting charged every time somebody clicks your ad, whether it results in a sale or not.
Okay.
So bots will click your ad. So it kind of, you know, I'm a skeptical person. I've always been, just a trait of mine, but I always feel like those services are driven by those companies because they are owned by billion-dollar companies, and their whole, you know, bottom line is built off ads revenue. So, you know, whether or not you're really getting anything, I can honestly say that all of the money that I have invested in Google ads and Facebook ads, that I've had no sale ever come from one of those things.
Wow.
So that's why I would kind of stick to the standard in the beginning. Get effective advertising done in the very beginning. Now, you can later on pay for those things. And there are going to be people and critics who disagree with me. I absolutely welcome your thoughts and opinions on Google ads and Facebook ads, but I'm sharing with you only my experiences and many years of experiences using those two specific services. And that's what our podcasts are all about, us sharing our personal experiences and what we've done. But if you want to, you know, go with me on it, I would definitely have the discussion and convince me otherwise. But for now, I say stay away from them.
Okay, so one more thing before we wrap up. So I think I mentioned this before. Join industry associations for your industry. Industry associations will have resources and tools for you to help market your business. So, you know, if you are in, you know, the hair business, you know, join some industry group that supports hairstylists. If you are in sales, you know, join some industry group that supports sales. I'm in commercial loan brokering and coaching. You know, I have recently joined the industry association to around commercial loan brokers and associations. So, and usually it's a couple of $100 per month. A couple of $100 a year to join these associations. They provide you tools and resources, sometimes discounts on different things that you may be able to use to help market your business. And then you're in there with other people and other business owners that are in your industry that can give you best practices.
Yeah, and those industries have publications, or there are magazines and articles directed towards certain industries. Share your story. You may be a featured article, or they may want to interview you, and that's free publicity. That's another way of getting out your business. It's going to cost you no money. That's why I say it's important to create a story around your branding, because when they're doing these articles or whatever, they may pick you and say, hey, let me interview you, share your story with us. So that's another part of where you can, you know, put your business out there and people find you and buy from you.
That's right. So just get the word out there, people. just we don't know it all. You don't know it all. Just get some help. And then increase that help over the years as you're growing your business. So, Daniel, that concludes this episode.
Oh, we made it through.
We made it.
We made it through our big, both of our biggest struggles.
Yeah, huge. So I'm going to let Daniel do what he does best.
Okay, guys. Well, thank you for listening again. I know this is a lot of information. Please go back and listen to the few episodes if you're on that journey to business ownership, because we have a lot of valuable information in all of our other episodes. And the episodes coming forward, by the end, we hope that you've gotten everything you need to create a business. As always, listen to our podcast via all of the platforms. We are on Facebook, Spotify, Audioboom, Apple Podcast. I mean, I just, the list goes on and on. And you can also visit our website, www.danielandglenda.com. Don't forget to like, share, and always comment, because we love the comments.
We sure do.
Thank you. And we will, we'll go ahead.
And subscribe.
Yeah, absolutely. Subscribe. I forgot that one. I'm a little off my game today.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening, and we will see you next time.
Absolutely. Peace out.